got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about with our Baltimore Ravens. We got some guys that return to practice. And I just want to let y'all know how I'm feeling about a certain area of this team that I think we should really, really look forward to. Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe to the channel and turn your notifications on so you don't miss a single video. And leave a like on the video. Y'all been going crazy with it, so I appreciate the fact that y'all been doing it. Also, make sure you go to the link in the description to get your Revenge Season Heart of the City hoodie. These things are fire, my friend. And so you can get yours, and you can get as many as you want to. When you check out, you use code ENGRAVEN20, so you get 20% off your entire order. Not just off of one hoodie, not just off of two, but however many hoodies you want to get, you get 20% off the entire order. So y'all check them out. Don't try to say I ain't hook y'all up with nothing, because I really did in Heart of the City. They really trying to take care of y'all. Now to our Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is back. He returned to practice, and that's a beautiful thing. We know, of course, he missed practice a couple of days ago on Monday due to being just sore. And when you watch the game that he played against the Kansas City Chiefs, you can completely understand why. But they showed some videos of him today at practice. He did not look like he was banged up, didn't look like he was ailing or hurting or anything like that. He looked perfectly fine. So that's a beautiful thing. Now, I know a lot of Ravens fans have been concerned, like, man, that's how the first game started. If Lamar Jackson plays 17 games of that, then he ain't going to last. It's not going to be good for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, like we have to do, it was 1 week. We don't want to overreact, but at the same time, we also don't want to underreact. And what I mean when I say that, it is important that the Baltimore Ravens, they get this thing going. They get the offense going. And I think it's important that they do a lot of what they did last year to where they got it in different ways. Again, with Harbaugh's comments, don't even worry about those yet. Not yet. Let's just see how things go. I know week one, we had a lot of hot takes. A lot of people had a lot of hot takes about this and about that in the third. And I get it. But it was just one game. So, like, we talked about with Zach Orr. We talked about how with Zach Orr, we got to really see, to really understand him, see what type of defensive coordinator he is. We got to give him time. But it's the same way with this second year of the offense. We cannot base an entire year off of one game. We cannot expect an entire year to be like that one game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, I get it. There were some things that we liked in the game. There were some things that we didn't like in the game. But it's just one game. Let's see how this offense moves forward, moving forward. And then we'll take it from there. Now, real quick, because I had to add this in here because I didn't know that there was going to be a presser today that featured both Lamar Jackson and Kyle Hamilton. Both my favorite players on the offense and defense of these Baltimore Ravens, by the way. But anyway, Lamar Jackson said something that really stuck out to me and something that I really appreciated. And I know that you will, too, where because it's been a question. It's been a big question that's been around so many media people. I've seen a lot of Ravens fans saying the same thing, too, saying, oh, my goodness, if Lamar Jackson, he plays like that every single game, then it's not sustainable. He won't last or get hurt, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, oh man, I get it, but at the same time it's like, but Lamar Jackson, his response to that, he said he ain't trying to find out whether 16 carries per game is sustainable, but said he is going to do what it takes to win. That's all I needed to hear, straight up. That's all I needed to hear. That's all, in my opinion, that's all we need to see. Do what it takes to win. But it's important that that not only be for the regular season, but that it carries into the postseason as well. And they just continuously play winning football. That's it. Somebody else who returned to the practice field, and they were just doing conditioning work, so a slow start, but better than no start, was Adisa Isaac. We know his legs been giving him problems, his hamstrings been giving him issues, but the fact that he is back doing conditioning work, that is a beautiful thing. And you know what? The timing with it is kind of crazy because Kyle Vannoy, he's out for now. We don't know how long he's going to be out for yet. But Adisa Isaac returns. So we're down a pass rusher, but then we gain one. And with Adisa Isaac, he's obviously a rookie. So he's very unproven. We don't know what his role is going to be. And I don't expect him or wouldn't expect him to have a large role in the Baltimore Ravens defense because of everybody who's ahead of him right now. Because you got Adafi Away, who's going to be out there a lot, 3-down linebacker. You got David Ojabo, who's going to be out there a significant amount of times. He's a pass rushing linebacker. And then you got Tavius Robinson as well. And then you could deploy some other people too. But with Adisa Isaac, he's a rookie. And right now, there are low expectations with him. Could he be out there? I think right now he'll still remain on the inactive list on game day. But the fact that he is back on the practice field, that's a beautiful thing. And that can get him going so his rookie year can finally really get started. So shout out to Adisa Isaac for finally returning. See, I love this when we can get as much good news and positive news about the Baltimore Ravens as possible. Speaking of somebody else who returned, we already talked about Lamar Jackson. We already talked about Adisa Isaac. But somebody else who came back to practice, he was off on a side field, but it was Mr. Arthur Millette. Arthur Millette, and of course, he's still got to miss at least three more games. He's on injury reserve right now, but he will be able to come back. The fact that he was out there on that side field, you know what they say about that side field? When you're on that side field, that means you're close, very, very close to returning. So the fact that he's out there already, just after 1 week of the regular season, and again, he's got to miss at least three more games, but the fact that he's out there already, this bodes well for the Baltimore Ravens. Reason I say that is because Arthur Millette was a big part of that Baltimore Ravens defense last year. I'm very excited about this because you saw the Baltimore Ravens defense this past week against the Kansas City Chiefs. And overall, they did a phenomenal job. You got to give Zach Orr a lot of credit, a whole lot of credit, because he did a really, really good job against Kansas City. Something to think about with Zach Orr and that Baltimore Ravens defense. They obviously did not have Arthur Millette. And for a chunk of the game, they also didn't have Kyle Vannoy too. And Nate Wiggins, he was not out there very often yet. They took Trenton Simpson off the field a lot. They still got to work on some personnel usage and whatnot, but that it's a work in progress and that's fine. But for everything that they did wrong, all the any hiccups that they had, any mess ups, mistakes, errors that they had, they did a really good job against the best team in the NFL, that being the Kansas City Chiefs. And then something else, context. We always talk about how context is so important. There were some times where this defense was put into some tough, tough, tough situations. One of those situations, it happened when Lamar Jackson fumbled. Another one of those situations happened when Justin Tucker, he missed the field goal. And are y'all concerned at all about Justin Tucker? That's just a little side question that I got for y'all. Let me hear from y'all in the comment section. But are y'all a little bit worried at all about Justin Tucker? I'm not saying that I am, but I'm also not saying that I'm not. It's just something to monitor because it's been weird. I know he had some field goals blocked. I don't really count those, but Justin Tucker, he's been a little different than the Justin Tucker that we used to. But anyway, Justin Tucker, he had missed that field goal. Baltimore Ravens, when Nelson Agholor missed his block. But anyway, they did not convert on a fourth down, so they missed that. So Chiefs kept getting the ball in Baltimore Ravens territory with short field positions to go. But that defense overall that night, they did a very, very good job. So shout out to Zach Orr. But again, back to Arthur Millette, the fact that he's getting closer, that means we getting closer to getting that much stronger on defense. Another thing to be very excited about, I believe I saw that the Baltimore Ravens, I think it was Coach Sip Tattaly, we're going to have him on here soon. I believe he said that the Baltimore Ravens only blitzed Patrick Mahomes 1, 2, 3 times that whole game. And that makes sense. And that would be something to be very excited about as well, because that would show that Zach Orr is smart, in my opinion. And the reason I say that is because we've gone against Patrick Mahomes plenty of times, and we've seen, like last year, Mike McDonald did his thing about against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. That defense, they were amazing, held him to no points in the second half of the game. But if you go back to previous defensive coordinators, there will be multiple times we play Patrick Mahomes, like Wink Martindale. We love Wink Martindale, love his vibe, love his energy, all that, love the chain and all that. But anyway, with Wink, he was very stubborn against Patrick Mahomes. We will see the stats every time we play the Chiefs. Like, oh, whenever you blitz the Chiefs, whenever you blitz Patrick Mahomes, he got this certain completion percentage. He throws this many touchdowns versus the super low amount of interceptions, if at all. So don't blitz Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to work. We will see it all the time. But what would Wink do? He would blitz Patrick Mahomes all the time, and it did not work. It always resulted in bad. It always ended up with something terrible happening to the Baltimore Ravens defense. But he kept doing it, kept sending them, continued to blitz, and it didn't work. So it would be so frustrating seeing something like that. With Zach Orr, it seems like Zach Orr, something that we talked about when the Ravens first officially hired Zach Orr, what we hoped he would do. Because we would hope that he was going to take what Mike McDonald did and had success with and implement that and also put his own spin on it and learn. Learn from everything that he's seen. Learn from everything that he's been a part of. Learn from everybody that he's been around. So he saw Mike McDonald and saw the success that he had. He said, okay, noted. I like that. And then he saw what Wink did as a defensive coordinator. Vince Patrick Mahomes, no thanks. I'm not going to do that. So I like that. I like that he played it smart because the defense did enough to win the game. They certainly did. And then something that you cannot put on Zach Orr was the miscommunication. Well, you might be able to a little bit, but the miscommunication on the touchdown, the second touchdown to Xavier Worthy. Like, I don't know what happened there, but there was something didn't click, whether it was Marlon Humphrey, whether it was to Eddie Jackson, whoever it was, there was something that didn't click. So I'm sure they're going to go over that in practice heavy this week, extra this week, go over just communication, because a lot of times with football, it's the simple stuff. It's the simple stuff. But with what we saw from Zach Orr against the best team in the league, against one of the best offenses and the best offensive masterminds in the league, again, number one and number two, Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan. After that, I think it's a big drop off, but number one and number two are those two. And they went against the best and the most successful offensive mastermind in the league, Andy Reid, and they did a good job. So, in my opinion, that gives us so many reasons to be excited about this Baltimore Ravens defense. Yet another reason, when you think about it, Kyle Hamilton. Did you hear from him in that Chiefs game? No, we didn't really hear from him very often. Not at all, because he was not deployed like the Kyle Hamilton that we are used to. So, moving forward, I would expect Kyle Hamilton to be a lot more active, a lot more involved. Deploy, just putting him everywhere, having him do a little bit of everything, whether it's blitzing, whether it's covering somebody in a slot, whether it's taking out a tight end, whether it's doing this, that, and a third. Kyle Vannoy can be himself. Again, with the Chiefs, they couldn't do it like that. The Ravens couldn't deploy him like they normally do. But moving forward, we will get an even better version of Kyle Hamilton. And another reason why you should be excited about this Baltimore Ravens defense is because that was the first game. That was the first game. So they're only going to go up from here. They're only going to get better from here. Yeah, they're going to have plenty of tough tests against tough quarterbacks. But the sky is the limit for them. Because when you start off with such a tough task like Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and an offense like that, and that ain't no shot at nobody else, but when you look at a lot of other teams, it's like, oh, we don't win against Patrick Mahomes. We did our thing against him. So going against this quarterback, oh, yeah, that's cake. Oh, this quarterback, oh, that's sweet. Oh, this quarterback, he going to be tough, but he ain't no Patrick Mahomes. So we should really look forward to this Baltimore Ravens defense a lot. Now, real quick, and sorry for the interruption, but Kyle Hamilton cleared up something that has been on our minds for a while, because the Xavier Worthy touchdown, well, the second Xavier Worthy touchdown where he just walked into the end zone, he ain't even had to run, he got to just walk half speed. Anyway, Xavier Worthy was wide open. A lot of people were saying this is Marlon Humphrey's fault. Initially, I didn't think it was Marlon Humphrey's fault. I thought that Marlon Humphrey was just, I thought they were in zone coverage, and Marlon Humphrey was supposed to stay down low, and then Eddie Jackson was supposed to be up top, but Eddie Jackson was nowhere to be found. There were some people that said, no, the Baltimore Ravens were actually in man coverage. Some people said that there were other cornerbacks that were following some of the receivers that were in motion, and they were playing man, and Marlon Humphrey just got beat by Xavier Worthy. I didn't see it like that, but there were some people that did. And again, I'm no X's and O's, guys. I'm no expert or anything like that, so maybe they knew better than me. But Kyle Hamilton said, look, I know better than everybody because it was actually my fault. Kyle Hamilton said that he was supposed to be covering that deep zone that Eddie Jackson was running over there to try to make up for, but it was just too little too late. Kyle Hamilton said that was on him. He said it was not Marlon Humphrey's fault. He said it was not Eddie Jackson's fault. And he said it's not Zach Orr's fault at all. So shout out to Super Duper Kyle for clearing that up. And like we said in this video, we are very, very sure, very, very certain that this week, the Baltimore Ravens are certainly going to be working a lot more on communication. See, we talked about that how excited we are about this Zach Orr defense moving forward. But hearing that from Kyle Hamilton, that was on him. Like, he messed up. We love the accountability, too, by the way. But hearing that from him, that makes you that much more excited because Worthy was supposed to be covered. Worthy was supposed to be accounted for, but Kyle Hamilton, he just had a slip up. And somebody else who had missed practice on Monday, but they returned today, was both Nate Wiggins and Deontay Hardy, the Baltimore Ravens return man. With Nate Wiggins, it's going to be interesting to see how they deploy him against offenses. Like early in the game against the Chiefs, we saw a lot of Jalen Armour Davis. And I was really surprised. I know the Ravens, they love them some Jalen Armour Davis. They love his potential. They love his talent, his ability. And they showed that in that Thursday night game, because from jump, at the bottom of our screens, we saw that number 5. I was expecting to see that number 44, the number 21, obviously 14 too. But early on, I expected to see a lot more number 2. But we didn't for a while. We really didn't. So we saw Jalen Armour Davis from jump. So again, we'll see how things continue to move. We'll see about the consistency and everything like that and the opportunity and go on from there. But with Deontay Hardy and Nate Wiggins returning back to practice, them both being healthy, we need to be as strong as we can possibly get. And we can't take it for granted, too. I mean, obviously, as Ravens fans, we know about the CVS receipts list of injuries that we had had for so long. But we're not just looking around the league. I saw the Rams, they put like 4 people on injury reserve. I saw the Browns, they put a bunch of people on injury reserve. I see the Bengals, they got a bunch of injury issues, and they got some concerns about Joe Burrow still with his wrists and whatnot. I've been looking around the league and seeing all these reports with all these teams with injuries, with all these teams people are dropping, with all these teams people are just getting hurt. And I get it, it's football, injuries happen. But we just got to be very appreciative of the Baltimore Ravens and their health status right now. Team Keep It Clean, we hit my favorite part of these videos where we feature your questions. If you would like to be a part of this, you can send me an email at teamkeepitclean@gmail.com. Do not send it to any other email address. Or if you're a Team Keep It Clean patron, you can just send it directly on there. If you'd like to become one, you can go to patreon.com/engravenvids. I appreciate y'all. I got to do something that really acknowledges y'all every single video and the Team Keep It Clean channel members too. My apologies on that. We got so much things that we be trying to do, so much different things that we be trying to take it care of that I can't give y'all the proper acknowledgement that I be wanting to, but I'm gonna work on that. I got you. But anyway, first question came from Quavo from the 843. He says some things has to change. What's up, Team Keep It Clean? I've been subscribed to this channel since last year on Christmas Day, and I appreciate the content you bring to the channel. Continue to grind, man, and reach for the stars. A big fan of the hard work and dedication you put towards your channel. Hey, I appreciate that, Quavo. Thank you, man. For real. Thank you, for real. That means a lot, because it means a lot, man. Thank you. He said, now that week one is out of the way, what should we do next moving forward to get our offensive line better? Pray. No, I'm playing. But to get the offensive line better, just patience. Straight up. And I know it sucks. That is one of the most frustrating answers you can get about something that you really want right here and right now, is to be patient. Oh, my goodness. It's such a struggle. But that's all we can do, right? What else could they do? I mean, are they going to trade for somebody right now? No, they're not. They're going to wait this thing out. They're going to see how it plays out. But I would leave the offensive line, the starting offensive line, as is. See how they do against the Raiders. See how it is. And then if we see if it's better, if it's stronger, then all right, keep it. Just keep rolling with it. If it's not, then make some changes and see where your weaknesses are. Because, again, Tyler Linderbaum did his thing. The tackles, overall, they did their thing. It was the guards that was struggling. And, I mean, that's what we expected, because Voorhees and Falele, they're new to both of those positions. They're new. They're brand new. So, and they struggle. So that's not a surprise at all. But I just watch it, see how they play. And this game against the Raiders, and then if they don't play good, then you can make a change. Like, throw Ben Cleveland in there somewhere. See, like, again, because if they play bad, then it can't get worse. But if they play good, then it can continue to get better. Anyway, he continued. He said, me, personally, I think the O-line are too young, and the Ravens don't have a veteran offensive lineman that can lead the young guards to be great. As how Odell Beckham Jr. monitored Zay Flowers last season during his rookie season. Think we can make a trade for a veteran offensive lineman? We can all say that performance the Ravens offense showed us last Thursday night, the offensive line and wide receiver room needs to get a little better. Eventually, something has to change. It's crazy because those two go hand in hand, the offensive line and the wide receivers. Because the wide receivers, they could try to get open all day, but if the offensive line ain't blocking for the quarterback ain't going to have no time to find them. The wide receivers, they could be going against a really good cornerback where they're struggling to get a little bit more open. But if the offensive line don't get in time, then they ain't going to be able to get open. So it's they go hand in hand. But a really good receiver, they get it open quick, that can help a weak offensive line. Obviously, you got to drop some quick passing plays and whatnot. But again, everything can go hand in hand. So I think with time, we just got to give it time. Got to be patient with it. See how things play out. But that's the thing. That now, as far as you did say something, they do have a veteran on the offensive line. Not at guard, but they do have a veteran on the offensive line. That's Ronnie Stanley. Next question came from my guy, BB. He said, after watching the first game of the season and after hearing Harbaugh talk about it, I sense a sense of entitlement the Ravens have with Lamar Jackson. The offense leans so much on the ad-lib playmaking ability of Lamar. Why would Ravens bring in King Henry and not give him at least 20 touches per game? Harbaugh and his front office aren't worried about Lamar. If they were, it would show in staying true to how they build the team. King Henry is a workhorse, and by them not using him as much as they should, it cost them the game against Kansas City. Protection is a definite problem, as is the head coaching position on this team. We have seen the problem, and it is going to hold this organization from winning championships. Lamar should have at least one Super Bowl ring, but with bad leadership comes bad results. My goodness, BB ain't playing today. He ain't messing with y'all today. Now, as far as he said, why would the Ravens bring in King Henry and not give him at least 20 touches per game? It was one game. Let's wait. Let's just wait to see how it goes game by game. With Derrick Henry, let's see how they involve him in the games moving forward. Let's see how they incorporate him in this offense. Let's see if they do the Derrick Henry details. Where, if Derrick Henry's in, then they probably run it. But if Derrick Henry's out, then they 99% passing. Let's see if they can adjust that. That adjustment alone, in my opinion, could make such a big difference. When Derrick Henry's either out there or not out there, it not being so obvious what y'all are going to do. Because in that first game, it was. But again, it's just one game. It's just one game. That's why I'm not tripping right now, because it's just been one game. What Harbaugh said about Derrick Henry, again, let's see. Because Harbaugh can get up there, he can say whatever. But again, the actions are going to speak a whole lot louder than anything he could say. He said, Harbaugh in the front office aren't worried about Lamar, and if they were, it was showing staying true to how they build the team. Oh, no, I would definitely say they worried about Lamar, because they know that their success depends on Lamar. So, I think they definitely worried about Lamar. But, like you did say, they will stay true to how they build the team. Well, they do stay true to how they build the team, but they should build it a bit better and a bit differently, in my opinion. If it were me, what I would do, and I know some people may disagree with this, and that's fine. I still love y'all. I would really focus more on offense rather than defense, because what the Baltimore Ravens have been doing for a long time, they'll get good enough stuff on offense. They'll get, we straight with that. We can get by with that. Ain't no worries. But on defense, they will load up like crazy. Whoa. But I would actually flip that. I would flip it. So I would get like really load up on offense to where it's like, oh, my God, who are you going to cover? And look, Ravens, they got some players now. They got some players, but I would load up. The way that they treat defense, I would switch it around and have them treat the offense like that. And if they did that, ooh. Because think about it. We've seen how they've, with the get-by offense, like, all right, we got enough to get by. They've had some good offenses. But and they've even had some great offenses at times, too. But to really unlock Lamar, like we've been saying, to really unlock Lamar, to really get the best out of him, they should have went crazy with the offense, like crazy with the offense, the way that they do defense. But that's not how the Ravens operate. So, again, we obviously hope for their success. Don't get it twisted. Just because we don't fully agree with the way that they can fully operate on offense and defense at times, well, really on offense, that does not mean we don't want success for them. Because you already know, we want the Ravens to win everything, all the time. But I just wish they would tweak some things here and there when it comes to that. He said, King Henry is a workhorse, and by them not using him as much as they should, it cost him the game against Kansas City. I don't think that's what cost him the game. I think it was a couple of different things, but I don't think it was the lack of King Henry. That could have been a contributing factor, but I think it was other things that cost him the game. Now, well, I cannot argue with you. He said protection is a definite problem. Yeah, we all on board with that. And he said, as is the head coaching position on this team. We have seen the problem, and it's going to hold this organization from winning championships. That's where it starts. That's not where it finishes, but that's certainly where it starts. And the Ravens just got to get better in the biggest moments. That's what it is. They got to get better in the biggest moments. Regular season, again, we know they're going to do their thing. If they healthy, they're going to do their thing. No questions asked. But in the biggest moments, that's when y'all got to be extra prepared. That game plan got to be on point. But, just to rewind, something that you said in the beginning. The offense leans so much on the ad-lib playmaking ability of Lamar. That's true. I do think that's true. That's true. And that's all the off-script stuff. And we love it. We appreciate it. You don't want that to be the end-all, be-all. Because that sounds like plans are failing to me. If you're just relying on all the off-script stuff, like, it sounds like whatever you got planned, like, that was not successful. So that's not necessarily a good thing. So you want something that you plan to actually come through. You want it to, whatever the play that you called, you want it to go down. And obviously, it's not going to happen every play. We get that. We know that plays don't always work. We know defenses, they may figure something out. They may just play it better on that play against the offense. It could be so many different things. But if you just strictly relying heavily on the ad-lib stuff, on the off-script stuff, then that wouldn't be a good thing. So that's something that you are spot on about. Oh, man, my apologies. This next question came from my guy, Terry, but it was sitting in spam. I'm glad I checked my spam, but my apologies for that. He said, "What's up, Engraven? I know it's been a minute since I sent a question." Well, he sent this on September 9th, so this was sitting there a couple of days. Anyway, he said, "I hope you and the family are doing amazing, and I pray that God continues to bless you every day." I appreciate that, Terry. Thank you, man. He said, "I just had one question. It might be insane, but how would you feel if the Ravens signed David Bakhtiari?" He banged up. That was a Packers offensive lineman. He was really good, but he was also really, really hurt. Honestly, it couldn't hurt to see what he got. It could not hurt. I mean, you could sign him to the practice squad and just see. You could just see. He got the experience. When he's healthy, he can play. But is he healthy? How healthy is he? If you brought him in for a visit, it could not hurt at all. Couldn't hurt. Straight up. And it could light a fire under your current offensive lineman. To like, hey, they think we not good enough. Like, hold up. What? So that could light a fire under them for sure. He said, "I know he hasn't played in half of a season since 2022, but he can bring experience and guidance to the offensive line. And if he was to sign with us, I wouldn't say start him, but give Roger Rosengarten and Makari confidence and advice, even though they play on the right side of the line. He can also give us a nice depth piece. Besides Ronnie and Tyler Flinder, nobody else has a significant amount of experience at an all-pro level." And he said, "No shade with that. Appreciate you for everything, and I pray you keep going." Appreciate that a lot. Yeah, like you mentioned, he will give us that veteran presence on the offensive line, in addition to Ronnie Stanley. He also said, "P.S., I think we need to trade for Cortland Sutton. I know Zay is wide receiver one," and he said it's really likely. "But, LOL, we need a receiver who's physical, good on the sideline catches, and a good run blocker. Just a thought. Big Trust." Ooh, I ain't heard that in a long time. Big Trust. Shout out to Mark Ingram, man, for incorporating that into the Baltimore Ravens. But Cortland Sutton would be nice with the Ravens. Again, he'll be nice, that big body and a physical presence, a real physical presence at the wide receiver position. Y'all know me. I would rather DK Metcalf. But I know that's highly unlikely to happen unless the Seahawks just absolutely implode from within, and it's going really, really bad for them. And we don't wish that on Mike McDonald. But you never know. But Cortland Sutton, that could be a sneaky one there, man.